Our readings today continue this theme of discipleship that we started last week. And today, it looks at it in the sense of what it costs us to be a disciple. And really, the ultimate cost, our very lives. Because that is probably the number one fear that most people have, is that fear of death. But even this fear of death is overcome in our baptism. It is through baptism that we become disciples, putting others first, like the woman in our first reading. It's strange. We know the location. We get the city in our reading. We know Elisha. We know his servant's name. But we don't know the name of this woman. We don't know the name of her husband. So in a very real way, it speaks to every one of us, because we are all called to be disciples. This woman is an influential woman, and she recognizes Elisha as this man of God. And she convinces her husband that we should do something for him. And so they prepare a room in the upper floor of their house, so he has a place to stay when he comes. And Elisha is moved to repay her for her generosity. We see again and again in the Old Testament that people are repaid for their faith, or they're rewarded for their faith. But this woman is not rewarded for anything like that. She's rewarded for what she has done. Elisha asks his servant, is there anything that she needs? And he says, yes, she has no son. Her husband is getting on in years. And so Elisha calls her and tells her, by this time next year, you will be holding a baby son. The reward for her kindness to a prophet. For Christians, this discipleship continues. And as for the woman, there are sacrifices that we are called to make. Our gospel looks at the demands and rewards of following Christ. And he gives us three examples of what it will cost us. First two are centered around family. Whoever loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter is more than me is not worthy of me. It's kind of strange, because for most of us, for all of us really, the family is center. The family has the highest place in our lives, and rightfully so. The familial bond is center to our culture, to our society, and yet Christ insists that these things take second place to Him. He's not telling us that they're not important. He's not telling us to shun our families. He's telling us that it's about priorities. And this is indeed a very demanding statement. But St. Augustine can help us in this. He had a great devotion with his mother, St. Monica. In fact, it was St. Monica's prayers again and again that finally brought about the conversion of Augustine. And Augustine writes to his mother, I will love you in Christ, not instead of Christ. You will be with me in Him, but I will not be with you without Him. This is taking up our cross every day. This offering of our self-sufficiency, offering of our independence, our ego, offering of our very self. That is a rude shock and a gamble for most of us, but we are called to embrace it. We need to recognize the fact that we are called by another, that there is more than just this world. There is something that is beyond this world, a reality. And when we recognize this, and when we pursue it, that is really the heart of Christianity. Realizing that we are called by another for something more than this world offers. And to do this will bring rewards. Some in this life, but most certainly in eternal life. Whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives a prophet receives a prophet's reward. Whoever gives a cup of water to one of these little ones because he is a disciple of mine will surely not lose his reward. Christ is telling us we don't need to do these grand and glorious things in our lives. That may come. But we're called to do something so simple as to give a cup of water. That costs us nothing except to do it. And when we do it, we will be given a reward. We are called to do small things, but to do them with great love. That is the path of discipleship, a discipleship that we are born into on the day of our baptism, baptized into Christ's death. And it is through the power of baptism that we overcome death, this number one fear in our lives. There's only one person who has ever definitively died and has come back. There have been some that have died been revived, and they've written books, and they tell go on television, and they tell their story, and it can be very inspirational. But none of them has saved one soul. But Christ's death is different, and His death leads to life. They're not the same. Christ's death destroys death, and we are baptized into that death, baptized into His life, the beginning of our Christian life. That is why we have the corpus, why we have the body of Christ upon the cross, for us to remember that that is not the end. That is really the beginning. We also see this in baptism when we enter a new life. It's the meaning of pouring the water over the head of the child or the adult at baptism. That's symbolism, a symbolism of cleansing, but also a symbolism of death and resurrection. We see this clearer in full immersion baptism, where people are put completely underwater, where you cannot breathe. That death is very real. And they come up into the air and they can breathe, only to be put back into the water. Three times dying, three times rising, new life. It's not a morbid fascination with death. It is not a preoccupation with it. It's a statement to the world. Throw whatever you got at me, and we can take it. Because the worst the world has is death. And if death does not have a hold on us, if death cannot intimidate us, then we're good. No matter what, we're no longer enslaved by false gods. We're no longer trying to fill ourselves with power, pleasure, money, whatever it might be. These things ultimately leave us empty. On the cross, Christ took these things. He took our human pleasure, our friendship, and our honor, and He emptied them of their lies and destroyed them. And He gives us what makes life truly worth living: compassion, mercy, love, forgiveness. Letting go of the things that hold us back, embracing the things that bring life. This is the cost of discipleship. Prioritizing things, even the very good things of family, spouse, mother, father, children, social status, relationships, even our own self. Not allowing any of these things to become gods in and of themselves, but allowing them to be pathways to God. Stripped away any worldly illusions or means, allowing us to live in true freedom when we are baptized into His death, so that we may truly live in His life.